Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, it's the One Show Show. I'm John Holmes, and this is part two of this week's edition, which we'll pick up momentarily, and some might say confusingly, where part one of this episode left off. If you haven't heard part one, why not go back so that this part two makes sense? Why not subscribe as well so that in the future you will become nothing to us but an algorithm? Picking up exactly where we left off yesterday, this is the One Show Show. Our guests on the mouldy sofas this week, Cornelius Mendes and Tom Price. You saw Tuesdays, didn't you?
Yeah, Tuesday. Can I talk about two the greatest thefts of all time? And this is about the dancing robots.
Yeah.
First of all, is that they got Silas, who was the inventor behind these dancing robots, in. And they looked cool. They were like all in a row, like sort of a little marching band.
Yeah, it was
dancing.
Choreography outside on the plaza. Yeah,
it was great. And Alex said, we saw you were filming for Click outside. Click's like this technology show by BBC News that my IT teacher used to make our class watch once a week, so they didn't have to do anything for
quite
half
right.
an hour.
Cancers and education.
Yeah, so she just went, so you've been filming for Click outside all day, so we thought we'd ask you in, which very much takes the rug under the feet from Click as well. It's very much theft, I think. That is out of order. And also,
Click were banging at the window. Yeah. Give them back, it's our feature.
We're also going to be blending music with engineering. Cue the robots. Strictly in 20 years.
Yeah, they are, in fact, the next generation of computer gaming robots. We're going to be speaking to their inventor. He's a young man with a fascinating story a little bit later on. This is Silas, and he'll be on the green sofa before too long.
Very impressive young man, isn't he?
Very.
Also, that was the same show that they had Andrea and Matteo Bocelli on.
Mm-hmm.
And dancing robots.
Yeah.
And they did not combine the two, which, well, as a viewer, I felt like I'd been stolen from.
I would love to see robots dance.
It could have been the greatest ballet of our time.
Do you want a cut and shut of dancing robots and the Bocelli family?
Yeah, that would have been so good.
I had a geek annoyance at this, which nobody apart from me will probably be annoyed by, but it distracted from the whole piece. So they were really building up to how beautiful the singing of Bocelli and his son. So Andrea Bocelli and what's the son called?
Matteo.
Thank you. And they'd been practicing downstairs in the dressing room, hadn't they? And they'd been listening to it all day. They were telling us how beautiful this was going to be. So they got them on in the studio to finish the show. And I was distracted and annoyed by the fact that they'd used bright blue LX tape to hold the microphone cable in the microphone.
Why? Well, should you not use that tape for that?
Well, not. I used to work in a theatre. I don't know whether you're aware of that, Cornelius.
I am, yeah.
And so what you do is, if you're taping, if you've got a particularly energetic musical performance, a safety measure, even though a microphone cable clips into a microphone, sometimes they're not very, you know. So you tape them in. But what you do is you use black tape.
So you can't see it.
Looks like part of the microphone. Yeah. Not bright blue tape. So I was, and also they're in the stand. They're not jigging around with them. They're not going to fall out. So I was just very, very annoyed by the fact they'd used blue LX tape when they should have used black LX tape. Yeah. I'm just putting it
it's
out
there.
It's
not going to bother Andrea too much though, is it? Let's be honest. He's not going to get too upset about that.
But we didn't.
Me and John, we were discussing this before.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was blind.
I had no idea.
Oh, they're both.
Is he?
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli's blind.
That's not his son. That's a guide dog.
We both wrote down the note.
Yeah, yeah. this is a boy.
Yeah, it's fine.
We both wrote down the note. Who wears sunglasses indoors? What a knob.
But on the cover of his
Stevie Wonder's always got sunglasses on. Really rude.
But I know about him. On the cover of his albums, though, he's got eyes.
Well, no, he's got them closed.
No, he hasn't.
Well, you can be blind and still have eyes. But
so
your
why
eyes
is
don't
he wearing
work.
Sunglasses? Then?
Just not all people who are in a wheelchair don't have legs. They're just not working. How have we got into this conversation?
Why is he wearing sunglasses?
That's what you do. Hang on a second. Wait.
Does Stevie Wonder wear sunglasses on the cover of his albums all the time? Yes. So why doesn't Andrea Bocelli? I don't know.
His eyes are closed on the cover of his new album. His eyes are actually closed. He's not wearing sunglasses, they're closed.
Right.
He's got, I think it's glaucoma or something like that.
Okay, fine. I mean, well, I didn't know that. Yeah. He should publicise that more.
So, again, another reason he could have had the dancing robots, he'd have had no idea.
So he's performing his beautiful operatic song, and round him, he'd hear them. He'd hear them clicking and clanking. What's that noise?
What's going on? It's fine, it's just dolphins dancing.
I'm still so gutted. That would have looked so beautiful. They're just those elegant robots. Just also, before they were dancing to like proper electro, like Chemical Brothers music.
Yeah.
But to see them do a nice, slow ballet sort of thing would have been so graceful.
Romantic. Yeah. Robot love. Didn't you think, oh God, the robots are going to take over and this is how it starts?
Yeah, because they look like the proper ones that are, you know, when there's ones crushing cities.
Yeah.
It looked like small versions of them.
But the designer had really anthropomorphized them. Yes. That's the right word, isn't it?
It is.
You do say the word with the cock up in the middle.
Anthropomorphized.
Because they did, like, the robot like waved and wanted attention and was stamping its foot and stuff like
and
that.
It was very spider-like as well, which I didn't really like. It was a sort of robot spider that had human qualities, and that's not for me, if I'm honest.
Nor is it for the future of humanity.
I didn't wish that. There was an interesting link as well when they said soon the Bocellis will be performing their new song Fall On Me, but first Kay has been trying to fall asleep. Let's see how she got on.
Now, shortly, Andrea and Matteo Bocelli will be performing the stunning duet Fall On Me live in the studio.
First, Kit Botley's trying to fall asleep. And given where she's spending the night, it won't be easy.
Creepy.
Good luck, Kit.
And then they went to a woman spending the night in Hampton Court Palace.
I mean, that is a classic video.
Yeah.
Kay Botley, that is a classic video they've got.
Off the shelf.
Months ago.
We haven't had time because of the rickshaws to put this out, so let's just throw shit at a wall.
Are you saying we're in the sort of bargain bin era of The One Show? Before they gear up for Christmas, I guess.
I'm saying exactly that. They've got a lot of films that were shot this year, and you can tell from the weather, a lot of these were done in the summer. Mm. There was one about insects on Wednesdays. Did anyone see that?
Absolutely not.
Right at the end of the show. It's one of those classic 2.5 minute. They've got 2.5 minutes to fill. They've used all their guests up. They're doing an hour because it's a Wednesday. So here's George with a film about an insect. And he was obviously shot in July. You know, he's got his hand in a wasp's nest. Pointless. Absolutely pointless.
That one of her sleeping in Hampton Court was one of the most pointless things I've ever done with my eyes. Like, it was just... It was nothing. It was a very light history lesson for her going around Hampton Court, and then she has to spend the night there. And the only bit of sort of most haunted that they have halfway through, where it gets a bit spooky,
goes a bit Blair Witch.
She films herself, and you know what the big problem is? The big jeopardy is she needs to go to the toilet,
which she didn't film herself doing.
She didn't film herself
disappointingly.
Doing. Don't know if it's a one or two. We'll never know.
Time for bed. Bad news. I need a loo, and I really, really don't want to go up that staircase on my own. It's really creaky, the building. You can feel it sort of breathing and moving. Not the best night's sleep I've ever had, but I better not dilly-dally. I'm being served a very special Elizabethan meal. What's for breakfast?
Well, we've got a mutton stew on the go here.
Then it cuts to the morning when she goes and has mutton for breakfast. End of video. Done.
Yeah, that's it. Again, it's nothing.
No.
The thing I learned from The One Show this week was from that video was that Henry VIII was as good a father as he was a husband.
Mm. Yes, that was a good learning point. Mm. I didn't know that he sort of disowned his daughter because it reminded him of whichever one of the six wives it was.
Anne Boleyn.
Thank you.
It was Elizabeth
who he disowned. Wasn't it? But yeah, it was a very... nothing happened. I mean, she even said, I'm too scared to go down the stairs. And what you then wanted was her sort of filming herself going down the stairs in the dark, maybe a bit scared, a bit creaky.
Pissing herself.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of that. I want to see Vicar of Dribbley. That's what I want to see.
I want to talk a little bit about Wednesdays. I think because it was the hour, it did have the most guests on it this week.
Oh, I didn't watch it, so you just have to tell me everything.
Well, here's a sofa lineup, Tom, that you're going to like, I think. You're going to like John Richardson.
Brilliant comic.
Yeah. You've got...
You've got to get him on this to talk about his experience of being on it.
He's been on it a few times, actually.
Okay.
John Richardson.
Yeah, I thought about that today. And if I were him, I wouldn't come on this because he's going to have another DVD to sell next year.
True story.
I find it interesting that people are flogging DVDs.
Yeah, I know.
I thought nobody bought DVDs.
Well, that's
anymore.
The thing. When we did a talk radio show for 2 years, first year coming up to Christmas, it was so easy to fill with all the comedians
Davis.
There. Yeah, DVDs. The next year, absolutely none, because it's clear that that market's gone to Netflix now.
Yeah.
But clearly what comedians have realised is that Netflix won't have everyone, so let's bring DVDs back as if they're vinyl.
But DVD, no one's got a DVD player. So which,
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, but don't they now say digital download?
Yeah, and it's a digital download, which still makes you sound so old.
They were very specific saying DVDs to John Richardson.
People watching The One Show don't have a DVD player because they haven't got one yet. Not because they got rid of it.
Ruth Wilson was on. The actress?
Oh, yes, off of Downton.
No, she's in Luther. She's the psycho, scary lady with the no upper lip in Luther.
That's her. Then there were two scooter... they were in a thing called Nitro Circus, which is a sort of stunt scooter outfit, so they had a demonstration of that. Jules Holland and Mark Almond were on there.
Wow.
Yeah, because they've done a new album together and are on tour together.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were on... to sing, perform at the end.
So they didn't do any chat before?
They did do chat. They were on the sofas as well. It was a packed sofa.
Now, I've heard Jules Holland is a bit of an arsehole.
Really?
Yeah, off a very good friend of mine who might have been on the show once years ago.
Yeah, do
said
tell.
That Jules Holland, he tried to chat to him in an airport.
Yeah.
And Jules Holland was just really fucking grumpy and unpleasant. Yeah,
perhaps he was just in a bad mood that day.
Yeah,
I know someone who knows him and he's quite nice.
Yeah. Well, I might have to work with him on something in the future. So I'm going to reserve my judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's lovely.
We've covered all bases.
Yeah.
All we can say for sure is that Jules Holland is a person.
That's right. But Mark Almond, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah. Tuck in.
I do have a story about... I think we've all got a story about Mark Almond, haven't we? But he was on the sofa and he was talking about how Jules Holland said he had a motorbike crash some years ago and was in a coma, which I don't think I knew.
Right.
And he lost his confidence for performing. And Jules Holland had said, look, you know, come and do a couple of songs on my tour.
What he said was, over here. Come on.
Yes. It'll perk you back up. And so there they are doing this album, and that's all we got.
Jules, really, really, thanks to Jules for bringing me back on stage after I had my accident in 2000.
Yeah, we were going to ask you about that, because you had a motorcycle accident, didn't you, near St. Paul's here in London?
I did, yes.
And you were in a coma.
It was a very bad way, yes, but to get back on stage was a quite difficult thing. I kind of lost my confidence, lost my voice. I was about sort of 6 stone or something like that.
Oh,
and so, but Jules very kindly said, why don't you come on tour with us and just do a couple of songs
to ease you back in
and get back into it. So I did, and I enjoyed it, and I got my kind of mojo back, really, and got my spirit back, and that was it. It kicked me off, sort of.
Yeah.
Nobody asked him about that rumour about Mark Almond. And knowing the other one about the... Remember that?
Oh, God, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Some years ago, I wrote what we'll call a toilet book called Rockstar Babylon, which was just, I got a load of roadies drunk, and they were very indiscreet about various pop stars that they'd worked with. So it was a book. The book was a mix of those tales, plus the old classics, such as the Mark one. Right, and I went on BBC Radio 4's Loose Ends to talk about this book.
Wow. Right. Please tell me you didn't cite any of those
stories. Well, I got there, and that was all very fine. And one of the other guests was Mark Almond. And during the show, they were talking about, you know, what stories we could even talk about on air. That became a little bit of a running theme. Yeah. So I was able to tell a sort of status quo one, I think, and I can't remember who else, you know, Foo Fighters or something. And I said, well, of course, there's also that rumour about Mark turning to Mark.
Oh, no.
On Radio 4's Loose Ends.
Is that live, Loose
Ends? No, okay, no, luckily it isn't. It's as live. And his face changed to a thunderous face. I mean, his face... I don't think it moves much now, but it did. And he looked at me and he just said, well, anybody who cites that story, I do sue them and will sue them in a very angry way at me, right? And I had to slide the book away from him because it was in there and push it onto the floor while sort of trying to get the eye of the assistant producer to say, you know, don't even let him pick this book up. Because people go, oh, well, I'll have a copy, I'll have a read.
Right.
And I was going, don't give it to him.
And it had that story, but did it say that story is a massive urban myth?
Of course it did.
Yeah, of course it did.
But he was like, if anyone even mentions that story, then I will sue. I do sue, and I will sue. And I was like, well, this interview is going really
isn't
weird.
Isn't it the case
now
that, I don't know how libel law works actually at all, but isn't it the case that he has to prove it's not true? So do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure this is the place to get into. So they were the guests anyway, and that was okay. that was all lovely.
Lovely chemistry. I bet they got on very, very
yeah,
well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends, or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There was a lot of the guys from Nitro Circus, who were the stunt scooter guys. So they were the way they got into this, they were talking about your, again, this was another kind of off-the-shelf film. And did you see this con where...
No, I didn't make it this far into
you
it.
Had a... Well, it was kind of near the beginning. Okay. Where you had to...
Uh-oh. Got
some people who were 11 in 1969.
Oh, yeah, I did see
this. There you go.
Oh, I tell you what, this was one of the most boring videos I've ever seen in all probably six episodes I've watched of The One Show for this show.
That's a big up for this
video. It was
video.
An update on the National Child Development Survey. And near the start, they went... This has never been discussed on the telly before. And you're like, with good reason. This is Dolphy. It was like, you know when people at work tell you about their kids and you just couldn't give less of, like...
You glaze over.
Yeah. It was like that, except these were kids of people you didn't even know. It was even further removed than they're just like, oh, in the 70s. And that was it, basically. It was so boring.
They had to say what they wanted to be when they grew up. That was the gist of
it. And was there video footage of them saying, here's what I want to be, and then they said, here's what they became?
Yes.
Well, that's okay.
Not really video footage as such. I mean, there was as much video footage of that as there was of the dolphins and the bears.
I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? When you go back and look at anything like that, I need to watch a video of it. I need to see some moving pictures.
The one show of the future, the one show 50 years from now, will be full of stuff.
I mean,
because people film everything now.
Yeah.
So it's all going to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't even show a video of Mark Almond at a party.
Unbelievable. I think those videos have all been sued into non-existence, haven't they?
Might be right. So it didn't happen, if anyone's listening.
Obviously not.
I'm sure.
Not what you told me.
Shut up. Right, so the film was, they had their essay, so they had to read a bit of their old essay out. And one wanted to be a policeman, one wanted to be a nurse, and one wanted to run her own business, probably as a hairdresser.
Right.
Fine, great. And then guess what?
They
we went back to that later in the programme, which I don't imagine you stuck around for.
No, I didn't.
One of them didn't become a policeman. He ended up as an insurance salesman.
This is like a shit version of that Ed Sheeran song. You know, Castle on the Hill. He's doing time. He's lost a wife. He's an insurance salesman.
One of them wanted to be a hairdresser, but didn't become one and went into a banking job. And the other one did become a nurse and then a doctor.
Oh.
So that was good. They got something to salvage this abject failure out of. But Alex didn't pay attention during this episode, right? She didn't pay attention twice.
Oops.
Okay, so
sleep deprived. She's got babies now.
That might be it. Yeah. I don't know. She said it came off the back of the second bit of this film. And she said, well, nobody did what they set out to do. And Matt went, well, medical. And she went, oh, the doctor. Oh, yes, that's true.
I wasn't watching.
She literally hasn't been paying any attention to what had been going on at all. And it was a really kind of awkward moment.
Three very different people, three very different lives. But almost half a century later, they all agree their unscripted lives have turned out even better than their 11-year-old selves could ever have imagined.
See, that was lovely, wasn't it?
It was worth the wait.
And nobody did what they said they would.
Well, kind of, medical.
Oh, yeah, the doctor. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, someone who's...
And then,
oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not listening at all. I was on Twitter, to be honest. There's better things out there.
And then she was looking up... watching the film about the skateboarding scooter stunt people and the kid who's 16, because this tied in with that, because he had a dream to be in this Nitro Circus when he was young. He's only 16. He now is a performer in Nitro Circus, all right? And that's an incredible achievement, yeah. Right?
So peaked too early, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, the rest of your life equals disappointment.
And they did have some footage of him when he was 10, scootering around as an amateur stunt performer with a helmet.
Micro scooters?
Yes.
Push along. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Not like a great big Lambretta or something.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining. Not annoying people in Milan. No, right,
these are the micro scooters that children and just the worst type of adults get around on.
Have you got a micro scooter, Tom?
Then my hand is in the air for a reason. I've got a, well, it's not really a micro scooter, it's more of a macro scooter, because it's got to be for me. I'm 6'3". It's a large scooter. I've got a man scooter. Yeah, it's great.
Right.
I scoot around with it, and Cornelius was a big fan of it when we worked together in the summer, and I would scoot along every evening on those hot July evenings.
Play with it in a garden, but I wouldn't, like, get to work with it. Like, one of those execs in a suit and a bike helmet. Just the worst.
Converse on, here we go.
Yeah.
The child had in the film had a helmet, and he said, look, I'm wearing a helmet. And I've even got a green mohawk, like, on the helmet, and he had. Mm. Cut back to the studio, and Alex went, so is that your hair, or is that on the helmet? And he goes, he's just literally said, what is?
She's not listening, is she?
She really wasn't
What's
listening.
What's going on? But she's got funnier recently.
She's very funny, aren't
she? She's ever so funny, yeah. I think
talking
maybe
about
she's,
her jokes.
She's slowly detaching from reality, and that's making her better.
She was wearing a top on this episode that with some italicised letters. It was a word, but the whole episode, I stared at it thinking, that says pants.
Yeah.
Pants. I said, no, it can't. And I was looking at it, it does say pants. Then at the end of the show, right, and I thought that at the beginning and not really paid any more attention to it. At the end of the show, they're out on the forecourt waiting for Jules and Mark Armand to do their thing. Not that thing.
Right.
And talking about scooter stunts, they got a man who had a coma in a motorbike crash. I mean, well done, the one show.
I didn't know you had so much in common with Mark Armand.
I clearly do.
And they just said, we just should point out that Alex's shirt says Paris, not pants.
If you were wondering, Alex's jumper tonight said Paris.
Not pants. Right? Tomorrow, Sir Cliff Richard will be here, and as usual...
So people had been...
People had been getting in touch via the Twitter and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, can we just say, before the end of the show, anyone's watching right now, it says Paris, not pants.
Yeah.
Have a lovely evening. Goodbye. By the way, I haven't told you, I worked with Matt Baker. I've just remembered. I worked with
You've just remembered
this? Yeah, wow. I worked with him. In 2005, we presented the coverage of Live Aid. You know, they did live, it's called Live 8, I think it was.
Yes.
Live 8.
Yeah, and we hosted it together on the Red Button.
Did you? I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I had
a bit of a career.
What happened to you?
Lost my hair.
And, why was it on the Red Button? Because it was on the telly with Jonathan Ross.
There was the big telly coverage, but at that stage they were really into the Red Button, showing all the different concerts, because it was Live 8. There were 8 concerts happening simultaneously. So we were in charge of going around the world, going, let's see what's happening in Philadelphia.
That's a good gig, Tom, and now you're reduced to this shit.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I was quite something at the time.
Wow.
And I was really good at it as well. Me... Matt and Sarah, what was her name? Sarah, I want to say Kaywood. Sarah Kaywood?
Sarah Kaywood, yeah.
She was great as well. Yeah. And there's no great story here.
No,
I mean, but in a sense.
Because he's just Matt Baker.
Is he a nice guy?
But in a sense, my anecdote is reflecting the one show. Because at the end of it, you'll go.
Anodyne.
Yeah.
Is he a nice guy?
Oh, he's an absolutely gorgeous
man.
Yeah,
he seems He presented Blue Peter when I was of age of Blue Peter.
Yeah.
He was great.
He's a really nice guy.
I really liked his dog, Meg. Did he have his dog, Meg?
He didn't have Meg with him, no. And he was very tolerant of me being antsy and nervous for the whole thing. He was very laid back. I liked him.
He's a very professional man.
Very professional man. Saying that. No comas to speak of.
Absolute nutter. He went full Tim Foyle Brigade at one point.
No.
Thank you for bringing this up. This is spectacular.
Full Edmonds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he so did.
Alex had to rein him in this time round.
Why?
So they did a film on whether your phones are listening to you.
Oh, yeah.
And he just went, oh, well, they are. And she went, well, we'll find out in this video. And he, well, no, I'm sorry, but I don't care what he says. They are. And he's just like, this is the BBC. You can't just accuse phones of listening.
Google shares
to you.
Are plummeting because the BBC just announced.
He's going, well, I'm sure that I don't care. And he just went proper like, they're listening to me. I know they are.
Are our phones listening to every conversation we have?
100%.
Yeah.
I'm 100%. Honestly. Honestly, I don't know. Justin is about. We're about to hear from Justin, right? He's been finding out why our smartphone devices sometimes seem a lot smarter than we think. I 100% think they're listening to us. I don't care what Justin's going to tell us now. Here we go.
And then the film came on and proved conclusively that they're not.
Mm. Well, no, because I have a problem with the experiment that they...
Do talk us through it, Cornelius.
So what happened is they went to Demos, a think tank, which does all this stuff, and they said, right, we're going to do a test where we're going to talk to our phones, which we have in our hand right now. We're going to talk to see if our phones are listening to us. So we're going to say fridge a lot.
And well, hang on, fridge. But the test subjects...
Mm.
Were crucial to this because they got two kids, really, I suppose, you know, early 20s maybe, two millennials.
Mm. Anyone under 40,
and they were called Tyson and Alexia.
Oh.
Yeah.
She didn't have Alexia because that's too confusing with Alexa.
Well, this is
the
point.
She should be called Amazon.
Because this was the whole point of the argument. We've got Alexa and Google in the studio. But then they said, okay, so your kids, so you're not interested in various things, one of which is going to be fridges at your age, because why would you be interested? So they had this conversation, as you rightly say, about fridges, where they just read fridges quite a lot near their phones.
See if it was going into their cookies.
Yeah, and i.e., would they then get bombarded in the next 24 hours with advertising for fridges?
Mm.
Okay. They did a vox pop around London first, whether or not people believed... And they spoke to people who got, once I had a conversation about flooring, and then on my phone there was adverts about flooring.
I've had that with wardrobes.
See?
Yeah, that's definitely happened. Definitely happened.
Well, they had an explanation for it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So their explanation for this stuff was, if you've had a conversation on anything, i.e. not an out loud one, but on if you've emailed someone, spoken to, about wardrobes, to your wife, a partner, a colleague, whatever, Facebook will know about, it'll pick the key words up, and it will that does target you because it suddenly goes, oh, hang on, so Tom is married, he's had a conversation about wardrobes, so then your wife might get an advert about wardrobes because she put it in a message.
So it
will scan that, but the voice thing they couldn't prove.
Is that was that the conclusion, the voice thing wasn't provable?
But this is my thing, the experiment is flawed because they said, right, what we're going to do is we're going to talk into our phones and see if it's listening. But they said that to their phones, and the phones could have been listening to that, and then go, oh, hang on, they're testing us here. Yeah, back off for 10 minutes, you know.
Good point,
So that's what I'm saying.
The amount of times we've talked about Mark Ullman today, it's a good job there's no Alexa in here. We're trying to sell
it. Horrific.
Thank God.
So they did this to prove the voice thing. They tried the fridge conversation. Then they had conversations about holidays and
I lost concentration.
Fishing.
Yeah,
I'm so bored.
And nappies,
it's awful.
Because it was the Alexia and Tyson had no interest in fishing, nappies, or these particular holidays.
Mm.
24 hours later, have you had adverts on your phone for these things?
Have they?
No. So there was nothing to this story, particularly. At all. They go
tell Matt Baker that.
Well, they go back to the studio.
They do listen.
And Matt is still obsessed, isn't he? He's just shaking his head. They come out of the film, he's just going, no. They listen. And Justin, the reporter from the film, he's on the sofa.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't, Matt. This has been
proved. The evidence is that they don't. And he's going, no. They definitely definitely do listen. They do.
I love that.
They do.
Politely ending an argument by being right. No, they do. Definitely they listen.
I just really wanted like two men in suits and sunglasses to walk on and just Matt Baker and just drag him away.
Was one of them Andrea Bocelli? They started talking about smart voice gadgets without trying to name one of them.
Oh, that's always hilarious. Because you know how they don't have to do that on the BBC. There's this obsession. But if you read the compliance stuff, you can mention products.
Yeah. But then they said the reason we don't want to do it is because if we say the name of it, it'll activate ones around the country of people watching The One Show. Mm. And Matt said, so we can't do it. We're not going to do it. We can't say the one. But you know the one I'm talking about. And then Alex said, what, you mean? And he went, no, and he can't. And she said, Alex. And he went, is your name? Or something like that. But as you point out, one of the test subjects in the film was called Alexia.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have got anybody, but you chose that. Why?
I mean, I just said I watched it on my phone, so I couldn't test it on our Amazon Echo. But I'm pretty sure, like, our Amazon Echo can just go off at anything sometimes.
They start talking randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. In the middle of the night,
yes.
Right, not that long ago, I kid you not, the loudest music started from somewhere. And I thought, you know, because it was a distant sort of sound, but loud enough to wake the house up.
Right.
I thought, oh, Christ, there's a car out, someone's having a party, what's going on?
Please tell me you didn't just think, I'll just roll over in bed and try and put up with it for a few hours.
Well, I did roll over just going, oh, fuck, who's doing that? You know, what's the point in getting up? So I got up and then looked out of the window, nothing, and then thought, that is so loud. I went downstairs, Alexa, it's just playing really loud music in the middle of the night.
There's no one down there.
What's that about?
Why is she doing that? Who's she doing it for?
Yeah.
Maybe your ghosts are on LA time. You know. We had a power cut in our house the other night, and the Alexa next to our bed came on at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know when they switch on, they go,
yeah.
And then she just goes, hello.
Do you remember we have one at my flat with Dave Cribb, who's been on this podcast?
He has.
When we found out that you can voice message other Amazon Alexas. Mm. And we sent a lot to you.
Yes, you did.
And we just like half an hour later got a message from Tom Fry saying, please, we're in bed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was only like 9 o'clock in the evening.
Hello.
Of course. Got two young kids. We were trying to make a third. And we don't have a third because of you and
Alexa. The soundtrack of you, Cornelius.
Unbelievable. Hi, Tom.
All right, any other business before we bring this shoddy episode to its natural close?
The Lady of the Hills film on Wednesday's show.
The Dead Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which could not have been more Shaun of the Dead. Sort of, basically, a body was found near this very quiet village and they've, like, sort of put it to rest and they don't know whose it is. And they interview people, and I was just staring at them going, you know exactly who did this, you cold-blooded murderers. I'm surprised that they have that. Also, Ruth Wilson's drama.
Oh, a grandma story.
Yeah, it's an all-female remake of Back to the Future, from the sounds of it, because she's playing her own grandma and had to, like, kiss her granddad.
Yeah, and give birth to her own father.
Yeah, exactly. It's really confusing.
It's a weird story. Her grandma, when her granddad died, her grandma went through some of his things and found out she was the third of four wives he simultaneously had.
No.
And had children with them all.
That's
a
great story.
He was a spy and a top shagger.
Is this a factual story?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's a drama now written out of the records of all this stuff. But he was also in MI6, as you're right. Mm. MI6 kicked him out, but they won't say why, because it's classified, even though it was like years ago.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So, and this is Ruth Wilson's
TV drama.
New drama.
So she's playing
Tuesday
her own
at night.
Yeah. Nice.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is this the advert bit of the podcast? Is that what we're doing now?
Richardson's DVD, Old Man, is out.
You're spent.
I'm absolutely spent, but I really enjoyed it. And I would like to...
What, The One Show specifically? Or
No, definitely this. Okay. The One Show I hated. I find it extremely weird.
Well, you're very welcome to come back. Rate and review, if you'd be so kind, and even subscribe. And recommend. Something, isn't
it? You know, just recommend podcasts, like recommend the Jungle VIP I'm a Celeb podcast that's going on at the moment. It's brilliant.
Is that because you're producing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
not official. Whatever you do, remember, could you put an advert for this in it?
I'll try my best.
Thanks, Colin.
If Harry Redknapp has an anecdote about the One Show podcast in the jungle and we speak about it, I'll make sure it gets a plug.
That would be nice, kind of you to do that.
Whatever you do, remember this. When you look at the television to look at the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.